Today's message is about. I'm glad that you're ready for that, because that's what we're going to get is God's word this morning. So let's start with some prayer and lift our hearts up to God again. Father, we just love you. We thank you that you provide every need that we have, Lord. You take good care of us, Lord, providing not just eternal life, but an abundant life here on earth that we rejoice in it. We can have fellowship with you and with one another and enjoy each other's company here on earth as we're anticipating that final day or that time of glory when we go to be with you or you come for us, whichever happens first, Lord. We thank you for that. We rejoice in it. We're looking forward today to receiving your word, to let it be imparted into our heart in a way that brings about life change, that we leave a little different than we came in, that we have a faith that is stronger, that we are built and encouraged in you, and our hope for everlasting life, our hope in you and all that you've done, our hope in what you're doing right now is built up. Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. So let's start with some facts about the Bible this morning. Okay, we're going to talk about, you're going to hear me talk about the Word of God. Okay, and when I talk about that, I'm referring to the Bible, to Scripture, to things that are God's holy and anointed Word. Okay, and these are things that, just some of these facts to begin with, are things that every Christian should have established deep down in your heart. You know, this, we're in the middle of a series kind of that each one's a little different and unique, but it's titled Essential Christianity because I believe that these are things that we need to know. We have to have it deep down, and the more concrete that we get these things, the greater it will help our walk with God, and our time on earth can be flourishing in the things of God, that we receive, even as we talk about a little on Wednesday, about getting into the fullness of God, that we take in all that He has for us. Well, for starters, you have to know that God's Word is a beacon of light. Okay, there's something special about God's Word. It shows you what direction to go. Okay, and that simply comes from Psalm 119 and verse 105. It says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay, if you think of the physicality of that, I don't know if that's a word or not, but thinking about what that would look like, that this lamp is a lamp unto your path and a light unto your path. It's a light unto your path and a word unto you. Let me back up. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It is something that opens the darkness up so that you can see where to go. It is something that gives you a place to put your next step. Now, if you've ever walked in the dark, I don't know about you. A few years ago, I went hunting up in the Snowies up here, and I was out by myself, and of course, I sat out in the evening on a nice meadow and whatever until it got pitch black. And then I decided I'm walking back to camp, and I knew that I had a general direction. I didn't use GPS back then, and I had a general idea where the truck was, and I figured if I just kind of stayed on this path, well, lo and behold, that path had splits in it in different places, and I was pretty sure that I took the right one, and I walked for probably 30 minutes in the middle of dark, anticipating a cougar getting me any moment. Okay, that kind of, you know, you get that feeling sometimes where you're just like you're being stalked or something. And I walked for about 30 minutes before I realized I think I'm going the wrong way. And the whole thing was that I didn't have much for light. I did have a small flashlight, but it only shone maybe 3 or 4 feet around me. I didn't want like a big beacon of light at night, you know, because of the, you know, you spook everything in the forest if you go out early in the morning with a light like that. So I just had this little light that just kind of lit up right in front of me. And based on that, when I got to one of those Y's in the road, I have a feeling that's why I took the wrong path. I couldn't see far enough out in front of me to get my bearings, to get the landmarks, to remember, oh yeah, I remember that fallen log up there. I couldn't see that far. So I got to it and I'm like, I think it's this way, and ended up in a wrong spot. Well, with God's Word, that lamp goes beyond just 3 feet in front of us. I mean, that's important, right? You could step in a hole, you trip over something, that's important. But that beacon, that lamp, shines out there a little further than that. It shines out to the point that we can get our bearings, that we have a direction, a sense of life, okay, on where to go in life and what direction, what path to take. That is that light unto our path, okay? It lights it out there in a way that goes beyond just where we're putting our next step. That's important, but we even have angels to help keep us dashing our feet against things with that. But when it comes to looking out a little further, that's the Word of God. Okay, the Holy Scriptures are what God has given to us to illuminate our path so that we can see clearly and how to go through and where to go through in this darkness that is so often that we're surrounded by. I don't know about you, but I take my Bible literally everywhere that I go. If I don't, you know, we have phones now. I like a hard Bible with me at times. So if I'm going out of town, if I'm going, you know, just on a shopping trip to Casper or whatever, I always seem to grab my Bible. I just want it with me. And many, many times over the years, that has come in so important where one time I remember going to Fort Collins with a friend and we were standing in a store and there's a guy looking, he's in this section and kind of the Christian section and he's looking at Bibles and we're like, are you a Christian? And he's like, well, not really. You know, I'm kind of thinking about it. I don't really know, you know, where I'm going. He said, I'm, you know, kind of stranded here. I'm broke and whatever. And so he had this story. Well, before we parted ways with that guy, my friend and I had bought him a Bible, bought him lunch, and given him money for a bus ticket, okay, and got him sent on his way to wherever he said he was wanting to go. Well, that came from conversation from the Bibles that we each had brought on that trip. We're like, let's go out to eat. You know, are you okay with that? Sure. And so we went out to eat, and we studied, and we showed him scriptures in the Bible, and we went through stuff, and he's like, well, I want to believe on Jesus. I want what you guys have. And he got curious. So one of us gave him our Bible, okay, and sent him on his way. So, and then we had to go back and buy another Bible for ourselves, okay. So taking the word is something that I do everywhere I go because, again, if there's times in life where I don't know what to do, okay, I pray in the Spirit, if you know what that's about, or I pray and get alone with God and I ask Him about it. But there are many, many times, and I love this about God because He's pretty direct with me. But sometimes He said, you just need to get in the Word. You want to know what to do? Get in the Word. And so I get in the Word and I ask Him, where do you want me to read? And then I feel that sensing in my spirit and I begin to read. And sometimes I'll read for, you know, an hour or whatever, and I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. But you know what? I put the Bible away and I go about my day and I know what to do. It's like there's something that sometimes you don't, it doesn't necessarily jump out. It's like, aha, God says, you know, go to Jerusalem, you know, or whatever. But sometimes it's less than, it's more than that, I guess is what I should say. It is more of just a sensing that you're reminded again of the magnificence of God from something that you read and you know that life's going to be okay. And so when you read in there that He's going to direct and guide your steps or that His Word is a lamp, you can now take that step of faith and go through your day believing that His light, His Word is going to light up my day. It lit it up and now I should know where to go. And I begin going and I begin doing the things that God wants done in my life. So it's important, I think, to have Word with you wherever you go. The true Christian cannot survive without the Word of God. Okay, it is a must-have in a Christian's life. Once somebody receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I don't think there's anything else in this world that is as important for your growth and development, for your spiritual growth, as the Word of God. Okay, something that stands out, something that is crucial, critical for the Christian. In fact, it's what I would call essential. Right? It is essential for Christian life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16 and 17, a couple of my favorite verses, again, in the Bible. I have a lot. But it simply says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, okay, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Okay, all Scripture, in other words, is given by God and is profitable. Okay, think of that word, profitable. Okay, that means it is beneficial. It is going to be better than before. It is something that is good for you. Okay, the opposite of profit, anybody's ever done any business or those kind of things, lost something, okay, you know what the opposite of profit is? It is loss. Okay, it means that things are in the negative. Things went the other direction. Okay, there is something with the Word of God that when you have it and as much of it as you can, you will grow stronger in faith. Okay, but without the Word of God, you will grow weaker in faith. That's when we go, I don't, but maybe some do anymore, go days or weeks or months without ever reading the Word. Okay, people that are kind of straying from God's Word or straying from fellowship, maybe they've got something going in their life or whatever it is, and that first thing that the devil will try to remove from their life is the Word. Okay, quit thinking it, quit living it, quit reading it, quit hearing it, quit going to hear it, whatever it is a true key for the Christian to grow stronger is the Word of God. Without it, we begin to grow weaker. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is given so that the man or woman of God, the King James says, may be perfect. Okay, that word is mature. Okay, it is about growth. It is about maturing as a believer. This is what the scripture is given for. It guides us, corrects us, instructs us. It helps us in every way to be able to mature, to develop, okay, our faith and our walk with God. Okay, that Word of God is like an organic fertilizer. I wrote the word, I wrote this down and I said, the Word of God is like fertilizer. And I thought, well, no, it might not be exactly what I'm aiming at. But the Word of God is like an organic kind of fertilizer, something that will be beneficial, something that is a nutrient that you need in order to thrive. Okay, but you also need the Word of God just to survive. Okay, in this world we live in, we've got to have the Word of God in our life. Okay, if you're into taking vitamins and supplements and that kind of stuff, you know that you take those every day because it gets something into your system, whatever it is. You're taking, you know, whatever it is, glucosamine for your joints or whatever. You don't just take it once and done. You take it on a regular basis because it gets it into your system and it continually feeds that part of your body that needs those particular things, those nutrients or whatever it is. It is a way of keeping a steady supply, okay, of that into your system at all times. Well, you know, as it works, if you quit taking that for several days in a row, eventually your body begins to get depleted in whatever it was you were taking. Okay, if you're into, you know, you take vitamin C every day and every day and every day, and then pretty much you run out and you quit taking it, after a while your body will start to be like, hey, what happened to that vitamin C that I was getting that helped with this and that and the other thing? Okay, so you know that it eventually starts to be depleted. Well, with the Word of God, you want to ingest a little bit of that on a regular basis. Okay, and at times, if you need to, take a couple doses of the Word, right? Get into it. I sat in the other day and I listened to the entire book of 1 Samuel on my phone and just was totally blessed by it. Just because of getting that much Word at one time was a great experience. Okay, well, one of the main reasons that the Word of God is so profitable is because it is exceptionally powerful. Okay, more than just something we can get from the world, there's an exceptionally powerful element to it. Okay, God is not a man that he should lie, the Bible tells us. So what we know about God's Word is that it is always the truth. Okay, God is not ever, has never, and will never lie to you. And through his Word, all scripture being given by inspiration of God, holy men of God wrote things down as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay, these words of truth are going to do something in our life. Okay, now one thing about God and his Word is that he does not just tell people what they want to hear. Okay, you ever read some of those verses in the Bible and it's like, whew, that's a tough one right there. Okay, that's God just saying what needed to be said at that moment. He doesn't say just what people want to hear. He does not water down his guidance or his correction. Okay, sometimes he just says what needs to be said. Okay, and most importantly from God's Word is he does not say things that do not matter. Okay, there's no idle words with God. There's no idle chit-chat. Okay, it is things that matter. He says what he means and he means what he says. No more and no less. Okay, that is beautiful about God. There's no having to read into it. There's no question about, is he just speaking out of emotion? There's none of that stuff. God says what needs to be said. Okay, no more and no less. That's what God's Word is about. Okay, let's look at something where it speaks particularly of God speaking about his own word. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 through 11. I think we even sang part of this in a song this morning. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Think of this example. He says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but it waters the earth and it maketh it bring forth in bud so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." In other words, God's word goes. God's word does. God's word is his word. It goes and accomplishes something. And I think that is a powerful, life-altering statement for every Christian who will receive that. God's word never fails. When he speaks it, when he puts something in motion, that is what is in motion. Okay, it is going to come to pass. That is why, as we talked about even on Wednesday, it is so important to know the will of God when you're praying for things, because if you pray what he's praying, it's going to happen. Okay, so we believe and we pray along the line of where God is at. What is God saying about something? When we're in line with that, we begin to see things happening. Okay, now Jesus, our Lord, set a great example for us of just the knowing of this. Okay, where he was willing to speak out things because he knew that God's word came true. Okay, he knew that God's word superseded. Okay, he knew that he could set an example for us of how we should know and utilize the word of God in this life that we live. If you remember when he was confronted with temptation by the devil, okay, he was tempted, the Bible talks about being tempted for 40 days, and the devil comes and questions him or tells him to do things that are not in line with God. Jesus literally quotes the written word of God, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." And then he quotes the scripture, and he says, whatever, you know, that thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, again, pointing to the word of God is, I don't live by what the world says. I don't live by what you say, devil. I live by the word of God. And that was that example that Jesus was setting for us. Okay, part of that point for us is that the written word of God is powerful. Okay, it is concrete. It is unmovable. And it is a force that cannot be legitimately refuted. Okay, the devil could have said, "No, that's not true." But it wouldn't have mattered, because what Jesus said was, "I'm speaking the words of my Father, and they are true." End of story. Period. Drop the mic. Right? Okay? It was at that moment that the devil's like, I can't beat this guy. Okay? Ultimately, this scripture that we have, the Word of God, the Bible, was given for our benefit. Okay? It tells us all about God. It tells us some about ourselves. But it talks about our relationship with him and our relationship with others, which is how people know that we have a relationship with him. Okay, and at one point, Jesus even used scripture to point people to himself. If you remember after his death and resurrection, okay, he encountered a couple of men walking down a road, and they were trying to figure out what happened, because they thought that this was Jesus of Nazareth. They called him a mighty prophet of God indeed. And they said, "We just don't understand, because we thought he was the Messiah, and yet they crucified him." Okay, they hung him on a cross and he died. Okay, well, Jesus encounters them and has this conversation with them. In Luke 24, starting in verse 25, this is what he says to them at that moment. They said, "We just don't understand." It says, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." In other words, what was written. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's saying, it's all in here. It's all in the scriptures. It's all in the word of God. And you can tell by the tone of Jesus' words that the expectation is that they should know and believe the written word of God. Okay, the prophets had spoken. It had been carefully written down for them to have. There was a rule in that time. I read about some of the things, the way it was written. But when the prophet spoke, they were supposed to write it down word for word, not add to it, not take away from it at all. And so what we get and what the word says is a powerful message that was given unto us. You think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jeremiah and Joshua and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Micah and Jonah and Amos and all the major and minor prophets. We have all that. The list goes on and on. Okay, we have what the same thing that Jesus was referring to for those guys that pointed to him. We have that as well as a New Testament account of guys that walk side by side with Jesus. Okay, that is how those guys, Jesus was implying, that knowing the scriptures is how they would know him, how their faith would be built in him, okay? How their faith would be developed, and that's how it's built and developed for us too. It comes from God's word. Romans 10:17 says that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, we hear that, we get it into us, and I'm going to explain it goes beyond letting it go in one ear and out the other. Okay, one of the most prolific teachings that Jesus ever shared when it came to the Word of God and how it affects our life, how it should look, how it does something special in our lives, okay, is when he shared the parable of the seed and the sower. Okay, and I'd like to read that passage to you this morning. It's in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. It says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake unto them by a parable. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls or the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, Lord, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. But the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Okay, now Jesus in that last verse speaks of those who, having heard the word, do something with it. What is it? Okay, wait a minute, wait. Having, with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they do something with it, right? They keep it. They keep the word. Okay, that's the key to the whole thing. The other ones had it come, and yet they let it be kind of taken away, or they strayed from it in one way or another. Okay, having heard the word, they keep it. Okay, those considered the good ground are simply those that learn, know, apply, and keep the word of God. They cleave to it. Okay, they cling to it. They won't let it go. Okay, they won't let it be taken from them. They won't turn from it, and they won't turn it over. Somebody apologized to me the other day. It kind of made me chuckle a little bit because they apologized for being passionate about the way they went about sharing what they believed about God and the Word. And I was like, that's not something to apologize for, because at times God wants you to be extremely passionate in what you share in the way that you said it. Okay, Peter was known as and others were known as being very zealous in sharing of Christ. Okay, we should be zealous in our faith. Okay, we should be zealous about the Word of God. Okay, the Word of God says, and put it out there. Okay, you can stand on it to that point. God's Word is true. It's going to come to pass as He said it. We can stand on it to that extent. Okay, that last verse says that those that who are on the good ground are those with an honest and good heart. Okay, honesty implies that they adhered to the truth. Okay, honest. You ever hear that? Let me be honest. Okay, like up to that point they weren't. Okay, but they say, let me be honest, right? Or to tell you the truth, well, okay, honesty implies that they adhere to the truth. Okay, the truth is always going to prevail in the end. That's why God could say, so shall my word be. Okay, that when I speak it, it will accomplish what I sent it to do. That's how God can say that, because His word is truth. Okay, when Jesus was praying to God for you and me, at one point He says this in John 17:16. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not unto the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay, Jesus knew that. God knew that. The truth is what matters. And so Jesus is saying, set them apart by your word, because your word is truth. Okay, God's word is that truth that when you entreat it into your life, you cleave to it, you cling to it, you keep it, it will set you apart. It will make you different than the world around you. Okay, but it's not just hearing the word preached that makes you different. Okay, it is when you believe it and act on it that it begins to make you stand out from the crowd. Okay, the Word of God can build some faith. I don't doubt that. Just listening to the Word, if you know, as a Christian or even an unbeliever, just hearing the Word of God is going to build your faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, that word hearing, if you look it up, it means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's infinitive. It goes on. Okay, but it's God's truth and His Word of truth that when you entreat it into your life, it's going to make you different. Okay, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Luke 8:20. Someone comes to Jesus and says, it was told to him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren, they stand without desiring to see thee. And he, Jesus, answers and says unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and let it go in one ear and out the other. Is that what it says? Are you guys following me this morning? It's on the screen, right? Right there. Okay. Which hear the word of God, and it does not say that they let it go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't say that they, you know, just walked away and never thought about it again. Okay. It implies that they hear the word of God and they do something with what they heard. Okay. They entreat it into their life. It makes a difference. When you impart it, you let it do something in your life. Okay, even Jesus' half-brother James, if you remember, he's the one that said, faith without works is dead, right? Guess where he got that? It's from Jesus saying stuff like this. It's not about just hearing the word. It's about hearing and doing something with what God has given you, what He put into you. Okay, Luke 11:28, he says it again. Okay, Jesus was correcting some theology, okay, some false, bad theology. Some guys were getting into, they were figuring that they didn't have to honor their parents anymore, but their parents should honor them because they were believers or whatever. And so Jesus is correcting their theology because they're starting to make it all about them instead of about God. Okay, and this is what he says to them. It's in Luke 11:28. Jesus says, "Yea, rather, blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it." In other words, he was correcting them because they weren't keeping the word of God anymore. They had heard it and then kind of made up their own stuff off of that. Okay, now beyond keeping the word, beyond keeping it secure, doing something with it, we need to trust in the word to the point that we allow the living word of God to actually access the deepest parts of our life. Okay, and here's where the walls are there. Okay, where people stand and they want to believe on God, but they don't because they have walls. They have issues. They have reasons, in the natural at least, for resisting against the word of God, not wanting it to penetrate in deep and to really say what it needs to say to us. Okay, the word of God is said in Hebrews 4:12 to be quick. Okay, that word means alive. Okay, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, that means that the word of God is essential for your life because it penetrates to the deepest part of your being, and it helps you to understand how to separate the things of your soul from your spirit. Okay, the things that maybe are affected by the world, the things that have our hang-ups or some of those kind of things, our issues, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, it helps us separate that from the things of the spirit. And I got to tell you, that is critical in the days ahead. Even right now, to understand what is, because we're bombarded. Okay, you can't go through a day without seeing, hearing news, whether you watch TV or not. Okay, it's just everywhere. There's a bombardment of pressure and things that happen in this society. And the only way that we're going to know exactly how to respond the way that God wants us to is by listening to the Spirit of God. Okay, so we're going to want to be able to separate these two things. Okay, the Word of God exposes the flesh. Okay, it sifts through the emotions. It analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of your heart. Okay, that's why when I said I read my Bible when I don't know what to do after I've asked God, sought, and whatever, I'll just sometimes just read a passage, read a chapter, whatever he asked me to do, and then walk away a little bit different. Maybe I didn't get a standout answer, but it gets down into the deepest parts of my being to help me analyze and judge my own thoughts and intentions. What do I want compared to what does God want? I want what God wants in the end. So if it helps me to see that, then it's going to help me to make the right decision. Okay, God's word, in other words, for those that avoid it, okay, for those that neglect it, are going to find themselves not being able to distinguish between their flesh and the Spirit of God that's in them, okay, and they're going to engage in things that are not rooted in the truth. Okay, they'll start to believe and act on lies instead of the truth of God. Okay, now here's the kicker. I like that. That's the way I put it. Because here's the kicker with all the stuff with the Word of God. How can letting the Word of God get in and analyze your thoughts and intentions, how can that really transform your life? Okay, well, the Word of God is only allowed its peak potential in your life when you fully yield and commit yourself to it. Okay, and I'll explain this. Because at its most powerful inclusion of the Word of God into your life, the Word of God will get you killed. You think about that for a minute. If you truly grab on and commit to what's in the Word of God, it'll get you killed. And I'm not saying in a bad way. You think any one of those disciples that was martyred for Christ from the beginning till now, okay, and it's still happening every day, there are people martyred for Jesus Christ every day. If they compromised the Word of God and said, just don't want to believe that part, or if they decided at that point to renounce Christ, you know what, you're right. Yeah, this Christ stuff's no good. I'm sorry I went that route. I'm with you. If any of them did that, they would not have perished. They would not have been martyred for Christ. That is a commitment to the Word of God. That is saying, I'm grabbing onto the Word of God and I'm keeping it. You're not taking it from me. I'm not giving it up. You can't have it. I've got it and I'm hanging on to it. That is keeping the Word of God. Okay, now when Jesus referred to those who were willing to keep the Word of God, it indicated a willingness not to discard it when the going got tough. Okay, it implies that you will hold on tightly to the Word no matter what the consequences may be. Okay, the Apostle John found this out firsthand when he would not compromise or stray from the truth of God's Word, and he was imprisoned on an island for it. Remember Patmos? Okay, he wrote the book of Revelation based on this experience. In Revelation 1:9, John said it this way. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was in the isle of Patmos, in the isle that is called Patmos. Why? Because he wouldn't let go of the Word of God. He says, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He would not renege on it. He wouldn't go back on it. He said, "This is it. I'm not faltering in what I believe about the Christ." In Revelation 6:9, John said again, he's talking about the angel. He said, when the angel had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, John says, the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. Again, pointing out, those are the guys that did it. They kept the Word of God all the way to the end. And then towards the end of Revelation, John says this. He said, I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay, that's the beginning of a good, good time right there. Okay, the Word of God is what helps you discern between your flesh and your spirit so that you can make the right decision to adhere to the things of God. Okay, to stay with the Spirit of God. Okay, because your flesh, your soul, does not want to die for the Word of God. I guarantee you. Okay, your soul doesn't even like being ignored because of the Word of God, right? You will compromise in a second if you think somebody's going to shut you off because you're a Jesus-y, you know, or whatever. Some people do. Okay, the Word of God is critical in our life. Okay, your soul doesn't like being ignored. Your soul doesn't like being rejected for the Word of God. But the Spirit of God within you is so in tune with the things of God and so wants to please and fulfill God's ways that when that time comes, if we're walking in the Spirit and connecting with the Spirit of God, we will make the right decisions. I want to be one of those guys under the altar. I want to be the guy that's one of them that died for Jesus. If that's what it comes down to, I'll live a full life here on earth, trust me, and do everything we can here on earth. But I still won't mind one bit being that guy. Okay, the one that has died, been martyred for Christ. Okay, we are called to speak the truth. Okay, to speak God's word in love. The Bible says, speak the word of truth. Okay, when we compromise that truth in order to spare someone's feelings, in order to spare our own feelings from getting hurt, okay, when we allow somebody to go on in sin or to go on believing in a false doctrine, okay, all because we're afraid of being rejected, we are at that moment condoning or even accepting that lie. We're embracing something that is not of God's truth. Okay, now the word is essential to true Christianity. It is something that we must have and we must adhere to. And when we see it as the absolute truth of God, then we begin to see it as something that cannot go wrong. We cannot be steered in a wrong direction by God, okay, in His Word. It is something that must not be watered down, must not be compromised, must not be rejected or neglected in the life of the believer. It is a must-have. Okay, those that live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years and beyond when he returns are going to be those that with an honest and good heart keep the Word of God. They will not let it go. Okay, that's where the Word of God takes us. That's where the Word of God is critical in our life. Let's pray. Father, we are praising you, Lord. I know it's not a jump up and down message, Lord, get people excited, but I pray that we understand the truth of your word, that we understand the value of it, the critical value in our life, to be able to adhere to you and your ways, to know what was inspired by you, to know your holy scriptures, to have that imparted into us on a regular, daily, minute-by-minute basis, Lord, that we may have what we need. We can recall the things that you've said and done when the time comes, that we have an understanding of the direction that you would have us to go, all because of your word. Lord, thank you for lighting our path. Thanks for showing us your way through your word. Thanks for correcting and guiding and reproving and showing yourself to us through your word. Thanks for bringing areas of conviction to the surface, Lord, so that we can see what is the difference between our flesh and what your spirit is leading us and guiding us to do that also lives within us. Father, we trust you this morning. We're praising you for opening a window for us or a door for us to be able to go through with a lighted path that we may see clearly out in front of us to know what to do and where to go. Father, we thank you that your word is true and right. Your word encourages. Your word corrects. Your word does everything that we need, Lord. We trust you. We trust in your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.